been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayamvunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabeau, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, John Sabeau coming to you from Da Nang, Vietnam, in the middle of this latest pandemic situation here. Now, the good news we have today is we finally got Grab drivers back and Grab delivery back. So that's really positive news. So that's the news here. Got a couple other things for you. And in this episode, we're going to be talking to Bruno Black from Taipei, Taiwan. He's going to give us an update on what's happening there. Taiwan was one of the safest places on the planet almost during this whole pandemic. But in the last few weeks, they've had an outbreak of COVID-19 there. So Bruno's going to give us an update right from the heart of Taipei City. So as always, a couple of links, two or three ways you can support the Far East Travels podcast. That's in its sixth year now. Here from Asia. One, you can write a positive review in the iTunes Store or Apple Podcasts. That always helps others discover the Far East Travels podcast, no matter which country you're from. So there's a link in the show notes. Just follow that link. Make sure you're signed into your iTunes account. Rate the podcast out of 5 stars, write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. And if you want to support the Far East Travels podcast financially, it's always welcome, of course. It's I'm always grateful for anything. So we have a Patreon page set up for the podcast, so you can do a monthly pledge. There's a link for that. There's also a link just to do one-off donations as well. So that will all be in the show notes, as well as some stuff to follow Bruno Black. And Bruno has been a guest on the Far East Travels podcast several times, but we haven't had him on in the last year and a half or so, simply because there hasn't really been much to talk about as far as travel opportunities. Bruno was always giving us updates on Taiwan and the places that he visits, a lot of amazing cities in China that Bruno likes to go to and travels to frequently, and he usually gives us updates from there. But because of the pandemic, COVID-19, of course, he's been stationary in Taiwan, and really nobody can visit Taiwan right now. So we haven't been talking too much, but I thought I would reach out. Actually, Bruno reached out to me first, and then I thought, well, you know, we got to have Bruno back on because things have really changed in Taiwan. So Bruno Black is a travel blogger. He's an entrepreneur. He is Taiwanese. His parents are Taiwanese. He was actually born in Brazil. He's lived in all kinds of different places around the world, but it's been in Taiwan now for 20 years. So without further ado.
Hey, Bruno, how are you doing?
Hey, fine. Well, we are still alive here in Taipei City, Taiwan.
Well, that's good. I thought it was time to check back in with you since it's been a couple of years, because we haven't really spoken, I think, since the whole pandemic began, because I used to have you on as a guest here and we'd talk about travel in Taiwan and you'd share your stories about traveling there and to different cities in China. And, you know, ever since the pandemic started, of course, that's been all off. But, you know, Taiwan is back in the news, but in kind of a different way. I mean, if maybe you could sort of give us the lowdown on what it's been like to live in Taiwan, because Taiwan has made, you know, international news by being one of the safest places in the world to live since almost pretty much the start of the pandemic. What had it been like up until recently when you've had some new clusters break out there?
All right. Thanks for having me. And traveling thing has been off since like the beginning of 2020. Taiwan has been doing fine until like 3 weeks ago. And I believe at the beginning we were doing really fine because we actually experienced SARS, which was another pandemic back like around 10 years ago. And we learned to wear masks, protect ourselves, not to speak in public. So we actually reacted really fast. And Taiwanese people are quite good at taking care of themselves and working together in serious cases like this. So this was a good thing. But I think this also is the reason why 3 weeks ago something bad started to happen, because we were kind of too confident about the situation in Taiwan. So we were not as careful as before. People coming to Taiwan were also confident about the condition in Taiwan. So they were also traveling around. And then it started to have some side effects. So since like 3 weeks ago, we started to have more and more cases. And those confirmed cases were traveling all around Taiwan, visiting a lot of different cities, a lot of busy places. So yeah, it acted like a domino. And we were not, at that time, we did not react fast enough. But now, everyone, especially in Taipei City, we are all at home. So the numbers are actually decreasing right now. We actually had, let me look at the latest numbers. We actually had a peak of like 500 cases a day. And now we are back to around 300. And the numbers are slowly decreasing again. So this is also reflecting like since 3 weeks ago, people started to react, work from home. My kids are now all at home, studying from home. So, yeah, now everyone is behaving, buying everything online, you know. So we do not go out unless we have to. So, yeah, we just in one day, you could see no one on the streets. I was quite surprised. So, right now we're doing fine. And one thing I would also like to thank Taiwanese people from working together. Like, I remember the first day of the serious outbreak. We actually went to the supermarket because we wanted to buy some groceries for the inventory to spend like 2 weeks at home. And to my surprise, outside of the supermarket, there was a table, a desk with pen and paper for people to write down their names, register before they get in because of the pandemic. And no one was watching, but everyone was behaving, staying in line, waiting for their turn to write down their names, register before they get in. So, yeah. And a day later, the government released a national overall a non-handwriting system, which is using a QR code for every store to allow visitors to just scan the QR code and send a SMS instead of writing and sharing a pen, because that could also be a risk too. So yeah, I appreciate the government. I appreciate Taipei City, the mayor, and everyone's collaboration. So yeah, we are slowly lowering the numbers so far.
Well, I had a similar situation yesterday here shopping. I'd gone to a big supermarket, which I hadn't done in, you know, maybe, well, almost, I think, since the pandemic or the new outbreaks started here in mm-hmm. Da Nang, Vietnam. And a similar situation. I was at the Big C supermarket, and they had a QR code that I needed to scan. And I guess that records that you're there. And they can do contact tracing, I suppose, if something were to happen, if they were to find that somebody was sick later. A few things. I did see on the news on Channel News Asia, scenes from Ximending, and I mean, it looked like a ghost town, and you're very close to that. You're only one MRT stop away from where you live in Ximending, and Ximending is kind of the, well, the reporter called it, which I'd agree, the Harajuku of Taipei. Harajuku is a very famous, you know, entertainment fashion district in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's normally bustling with people almost all day long. I mean, even in the afternoons. And then, of course, you know, lots of young people go there in the late afternoons and the evenings. And there was not one soul in this incredibly bustling area. And so I thought about you, and I thought, you know, some of the other questions I wanted to ask were, you know, are the shopping malls open? Are the underground malls open? Because that's a huge thing in Taipei as well.
Some malls, there is a big mall nearby my place. I live really, really close to the Taipei main station, like three minutes away. There is a big mall nearby my home. It's called the Q Mall, Jingzhan. And this mall, and with all the other malls nearby, they are still opened, but they shorten their opening time. Usually they open from around 11 a.m. until like 9 or 9:30 p.m. But now they are open from 12 p.m. to around 8 p.m. So, and every week, I guess, they will close the entire mall to do the disinfecting. So they're not open every day. They will actually post their opening hours on their official LINE account. It's a messenger platform we all use in Taiwan. So, yeah, they are actually trying their best to still support people's lives and jobs, but still carefully, you know, taking care of the pandemic by disinfecting, controlling the entrances, making sure everyone registers when they go in, and limit the kind of products they sell. Some like fresh products are limited because not a lot of people are shopping right now. So, yeah, you can still do some shopping, but you have to watch out the slightly adjusted opening hours.
So tell me a little bit about the mood, because, you know, up until 3 weeks ago, you know, Taiwan was almost like there was no pandemic going on there. Taiwan had a travel bubble set up with Palau in the South Pacific, and mm-hmm. people were free to travel back and forth between the two places. You know, I would see lots of people live streaming. I would see videos from you with lots of people in public walking around with no masks on, cafes open. I mean, it looked like there was nothing going on there. It was just as normal as it could be. And then to go from that, you know, back to where you are right now, what is the overall mood there? Like, you're saying people are cooperating in that, but, you know, is there some kind of a big, huge mood shift there, and that people are kind of scared now or worried? Because only 1% of the population so far in Taiwan has been vaccinated. And I see they're making announcements almost every day when a new shipment of vaccines is coming in.
Yes. Well, I do not feel a huge panic here in Taipei City. It's a little concerning because people in the south and in the mid part of Taiwan, like Taichung City, Kaohsiung, there are still people walking around without masks, going to parties because they do not feel the tense like Taipei City now. But even in Taipei, I do not feel a panic or like really bad and negative mood. People just feel that, well, it's bad, but they still go to work. I don't see a lot of complaints on Facebook or in all social medias. They're just always sharing that, oh, there is a confirmed case on the 13th floor of my office building. I wonder what will happen tomorrow. Will we close down? We will have discussions like this, but I see a huge panic. Around a couple of days ago, I was also talking to one of my friends from Brazil, and she also shared her experience in Taiwan. When there were no pandemic at all, Taiwanese people still are quite used to like wearing masks when they get a cold, or even when they're riding scooter, they wear a mask because they're afraid of the air pollution. So overall, it doesn't make a big difference from the everyday life that we have. It's just like, yeah, it's a shame, no parties and no hanging out with friends after work. I believe there are still over 50% of people in Taipei City that they still go to the office. Of course, some of them are shifting, like in terms of controlling the number of people in the office, but they still do go to the office. They still have to go out and work every day. While I'm one of the lucky ones that I can basically do, you know, my job mostly online, so I don't have to go out. But I can see a lot of people just, they don't complain about the pandemic. They're just complaining about getting used to the online world. Like my kids, for example, they're used to go to school for their lessons every day. Now they're all at home using Google Meet for the lessons. And well, I think they're quite happy, but the teachers are complaining that they're not used to the online facilities that you're using now. And they're not used to using like live stream mode to offer lessons. But I think this probably is a good thing. I mean, after all, we have to get used to the new era, like doing a lot of things online, right? So in one hand, yeah, it sucks. The pandemic is making a lot of people sick, even some deaths. That's, well, sorry for them. But for the most of people, I think it's sort of something good because it can speed up the speed of them entering the new era. Because I think Taiwan as a tech island with like TSMC and media tech companies like that, we should be moving fast in terms of making everything, especially like online facilities, available comparing to like mainland China and other places like that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, it's interesting about this whole working from home and working online. And I'm seeing kind of a curve in different places around the world that, you know, at first people were kind of welcoming it. They felt like they could be more productive at home. And now I'm seeing this kind of phase with people I know and, you know, in the West and here in Asia that they still kind of, you know, they want that interaction with people as well, like in-person interaction. So I think it'll probably be a balance in the future that, you know, we'll you know, we don't want to be completely isolated and always be on our own. But at the same time, you know, we'd like that bit of freedom as well. So I think it'll be kind of a balancing act in the future. But certainly, you know, Taiwan is, you know, a leader when it comes to, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, the semiconductor business and tech, and they should be, you know, just as advanced in, you know, online communication as anyone in the world. So, you know, I agree with you. It's moving in the right direction. I just want to back up for a second and get back into this whole kind of mask culture, because you were talking about how, you know, it's kind of not a big deal for people to wear a mask. And you know, you can see how Taiwan adapted very easily. Like, people don't feel like it's an infringement on their personal freedom or rights or anything like that. You know, I lived there for 5 years. I know that especially in the, you know, in the transportation system, that they always encourage people, if they were feeling sick or had been sick, to wear a mask. And there was no problem getting people to comply to that. And then, as you said, with the exhaust fumes, you know, it's quite normal for people to wear a mask in the big cities, especially in Taipei, but, you know, throughout Taiwan, just to control the amount of exhaust that they're inhaling. And not only that, but masks were always readily available everywhere. It was just something you could pick up at a pharmacy or in a department store or something like that. So, I used to, when I used to show videos when I was in Taiwan, and people would always ask me, you know, typically from Western countries, you know, why are people wearing masks? Are they afraid they're going to get sick? And I would say, no, it's actually the other way around. You know, if you see people wearing a mask in a public place, they're more than likely sick or had been sick, and they don't want to, you know, spread their germs to other people. And so I think that's a big thing. But also, would you say also, because Taiwan is, because of its geographic location, it's used to lots of you know, natural disasters with typhoons and earthquakes and that sort of has somewhat of an effect to pull people together as well?
Yeah, I think Taiwanese people are always ready for surprises.
That's a good way to put it.
I think Taiwanese people are really good at adopting change. Maybe sometimes not fast enough, but eventually they will, like you said, they will comply and they'll say, oh, okay, well, it's different than before, but yeah, so what? Let's change. Some of them fast, some of them slow. At the beginning of the pandemic, back in 2020, we did experience some shortage in masks, but the country reacted really fast on controlling the numbers of the masks released. The government bought all of the masks and started to release the masks slowly by like ID card numbers, distributing them evenly. But pretty fast, a lot of companies started to manufacture masks. In business, when there is a challenge, there is an opportunity, right? So now there is like, I think a little, I don't know whether it's good or not. I think now masks are more like the a fashion accessory here in Taipei. You can you can see a lot of different people wearing all sorts of, like fashion design masks, even some with like Hello Kitty, Snoopy, Marvel. Well, they're very creative in terms of making people feel proud of their masks so that they are willing to wear it more, like kids, you know, they're always complaining that wearing a mask is not comfortable. But if they think this is kind of cute, they're willing to do it more. So I think Taiwanese people are really good and fast reacted in that way in terms of protecting themselves. And most of them are followers, like, I don't want to wear a mask. But if you just give them a mask, they will not say no and they'll still wear it. If they walk into the MRT, they will be stopped by the guards and say, hey, have to wear a mask before you enter, and they will still wear it. There's no like big arguments or something like that.
Right. It's not viewed the same way. You know, maybe people feel it's more of an inconvenience, but they don't feel like their personal freedoms or rights are being infringed upon because, you know, somebody's asked them to wear a mask or they need to wear a mask when they, you know, go on the MRT or into a shopping mall. And are they doing temperature checks as well in places, or do they have thermal detectors?
Yeah, they have thermal detectors, and they also will do the alcohol spray whenever you went into a building. And everyone is behaving like they know that they should go get their spray and get their temperature measured before they get in.
So I was going to go back to the natural disaster comment earlier as well. And, you know, when you were telling us that, you know, it didn't seem to be like a big adjustment for people to get used to, you know, what's been going on in the last 3 weeks from having to be like completely free of worrying about, you know, getting this virus. Would you say that sort of is kind of a natural thing for the population? Like I noticed that, you know, with when big typhoons were coming, Cat 5 typhoon predictions and when earthquakes had happened, that, you know, people kind of just went, yeah, well, it's, you know, it's another one, here we go. And they just kind of go about their business like they have a routine that they're already familiar with when something like this happens. So would this be kind of the same way, or would you say it's relates similarly to the way people have reacted lately? Like it's just, okay, it's another, you know, it's not something to take lightly, but we'll just deal with it. Is that kind of how you would say people react to situations like that?
Yeah, just like I said, in terms of surprises, we are actually used to, you know, Taiwanese people really like the term SOP, you know, it's like systemized operating protocol. So whenever something happens, they've got a protocol for them to follow, like, oh, typhoon is coming. So all the stores will close up early, and then they will go home, shut down their windows. Then they will buy candles to get ready for like some electricity blackouts or something like that. So they've got an SOP for every kind of different situation. So now they've got an SOP for the pandemic. They've got it for typhoons and earthquakes and everything like that. And I think the schools in Taiwan are also, playing an important role on educating all the kids on what to do in terms when we have no pandemic. And I remember they come home and say, "Oh, we've got an earthquake demonstration today at school." So the school will demo a kind of situation. When there's earthquake, so they will know that they should, where they should hide and what they should do. So they are pretty good at making a protocol so that everyone can follow. And all the media, thanks to the media now during the pandemic and during serious situations, they stop fighting against each other and then be on the same page to deliver the right message. I think that's important because now we live in an era that we have news, but also a lot of misleading news. So I think Taiwan right now, it's actually doing a pretty good job on judging which are the news that is actually misleading and which are the correct ones. And they are willing to follow more like official pages of the government to get the correct information. So yeah, Taiwan, I think now it's doing a good job because they are used to getting ready for something. There is a Chinese term. If you don't mind, I would like to teach a very important Chinese term. They call it 未雨绸缪. There's a lot of story to tell in the Chinese culture. 未雨 means before the rain, and 绸缪 means you have to get ready. So they don't wait for the rain and then they complain like, "Oh, okay, I forgot to bring my umbrella." They are quite used to checking the weather before they go out, making sure that they bring the umbrella. Even during the sunny day, you can see a lot of people carrying an umbrella just in case, because it could also be used to for sunblock or something like that. So you can see Taiwanese people always ready for something. You know, it's rare for you to see someone getting out right now with just one mask on their face. You could ask like 10 people and they will have one or two extra masks in their bags just in case, in case there's someone that doesn't have a mask, just in case it gets dirty. So Taiwanese people are really good at getting ready for something just in case.
That is really interesting. And then I wanted to also just sort of talk a little bit about sort of some of the origins of where this latest outbreak has come from, because this has been on the news and maybe, you know, somebody that lives literally, I think you're probably about less than three kilometers away from this area called Wonhua, that you could tell us a little bit more about it, because there's been reports of some of these people that have been infected coming out of these tea houses in Wonhua district. So could you tell us a little bit more about the history of this area and what these places are?
The place that you just mentioned, the Ximending, which is like the Harajuku or Shinjuku in Taipei City, it's one of the busiest areas in Taipei. Now it is more like a fashion center for youngsters to go there and watch movies and enjoy their dates. And actually, it is one of the oldest centers, downtowns in Taipei City, because the oldest downtown is in like Da Dao Cheng, which is also very close to Wanhua, Ximending. Ximending is in Wanhua district, and they were the earliest busy markets because it was, of course, because Taipei Main Station is nearby. So, and it's nearby a river called the Dansui River. So in between the river and the train station, of course, this easily became the busiest center of Taipei. So during the early times in Taiwan, whenever there is busy centers like this, there will be like we call it red zones in
right.
in this place. So yeah, those are the tea houses that people mention about. They offer sort of special services. I'm not referring to all of them. All of them are real like tea houses, as yes. the name yeah. shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a lot of special services in Wanhua district, because right now it's also a small part of the red zone in Taipei. So yeah, so it's easy to understand that because during in those kind of areas, it will be easier to, you know, get too close with someone that is confirmed or about to be confirmed. And those businesses are usually very, how can I say? They actually get a lot of customers in each day and very intimate with everyone. So,
of course.
Yeah, that was the reason why it started the outbreak. So, yeah, it's a little sad. So that makes Ximending kind of like a ghost house, a ghost town.
Yeah. And so when you say red zone, and, you know, in the West, they would call it a red light district. At one time, I believe it was an official, when they did have official, like, government sanctioned red light districts, it was one of them, but they don't have those anymore. They haven't had them for, I think, decades. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you know, what I wanted to get at, which I really like the way you explained the whole area, because it's one of the most fascinating parts of Taipei. It was for me, because I lived near Daoyuchang, and that's where the Diwa Street is, and they have all of the old shop houses on there that are all restored. And then, you know, like you said, Wanhua, the newer part, which is all the fashion part. But then the older part with where you were talking about that red zone, and then also the Longshan Temple, and just great night markets around there and interesting architecture. It has one of the coolest Starbucks in all of Taiwan. It's in an
beautiful
an old mansion. Yeah, it's just, I mean, the Starbucks in Taiwan has some of the nicest locations of places. Like, they've grabbed some of these old Japanese homes or old Chinese style mansions, and they've converted them into a Starbucks. And they always seem to grab these really beautiful historical places. But I really like the way you explained it very clearly. And what I wanted people to get at was, you know, there's a lot more to this than just these, you know, so-called tea houses, this whole area. It's a very historical and important part of Taipei. Any kind of last thoughts about, you know, the situation right now? You know, are people feeling, like you were saying, like the numbers are starting to come down? I think May 22nd, they had the highest number of cases since the beginning of the pandemic, like 700. But it seems like it's come down since. Do you feel that people are starting to feel a little more hopeful now? I also heard that they're having a problem, especially in one of the top hospitals in Taipei, in the National Taiwan University Hospital. They have a problem with beds in ICU, that they don't have enough spots for people in ICU. And then on top of that, you know, you have an aging population there as well. So, you know, you have a lot of older people that would be more susceptible to complications from the virus. So how does that all play out right now?
Well, luckily, the mayor of Taipei City, Mr. Ke Wenzhe, he is a doctor. So he was very good at explaining how the pandemic, how the disease works, and how can we effectively. He was really good at explaining how we could effectively prevent the virus. And now we've got, right now we still have enough vaccines, and people over 65 years old in Taiwan, no matter from Taiwan or even a foreigner, you could also apply for a free vaccine. And for other people, younger people, there's a self-fund vaccine that you can also stay in line for and get your vaccine. So I think we're all saving it for those who are in the front line, like doctors, nurses, for them to get the vaccine first. And those other people, we just try to stay safe at home and not to like abuse the resources that we have. And I think it's, how can I say? We probably will not have enough vaccines pretty soon because at the beginning they were like, well, it's okay in Taiwan. There's no need for a vaccine. Now, of course, people are rushing to get the vaccine. But overall, we are still kind of cool about it. And I think the Taiwanese government, like I said, once again, I would like to thank the president and especially Chen Shizhong. He is the head of the pandemic control center of the disease management in Taiwan. He's doing a really good job. He has been under a lot of pressure. I really would like everyone to give him, you know, some space to breathe. So he's already doing a really good job. So, and with the help of the Taipei mayor, who is a doctor, has a very strong medical background, they're working really hard on educating people and releasing a lot of good tools for them, for us to use. There is a recent social distance app that we can download, and it utilizes the Bluetooth technology, and it will warn you whether the confirmed cases pass by the area that you're in right now. And so there are a lot of interesting new tools that we could use. And every day we have news, we have official announcements on the updates of the pandemic, what had happened, which areas have more cases, so warning us not to go to those places. So yeah, with all of that combined together, yeah, we are actually following all the suggestions that we are given. So yeah, the numbers are going down. I'm pretty positive about the situation later, because all the numbers that we see now are reflecting the activities that we actually did like probably a week ago, since the disease needs some time to for people to have symptoms. So yeah, overall, I think it's we're pretty happy with the situation. Not happy like that, but we are pretty positive.
Well, that's great. And then finally, through all this, and I know it might be hard to kind of predict the future, mm-hmm. In this particular moment right now. But what are your thoughts on, when people will start to be able to travel again to Taiwan? And Taiwan's a really important spot as well, because it's a hub for travel from, many countries, particularly in, North America, through to the rest of East Asia and Southeast Asia. I mean, Taipei is a huge flight hub. Any kind of predictions when you think that travel will be available again, or people will be available or allowed to come and visit Taiwan in the future?
I think it's quite possible. Right now, we are still on the level 3 of the pandemic control. And I think Taiwan is always thinking about providing convenience for people. So as long as we all behave and the numbers are back to like zero pandemic for confirmed cases a day, I believe we will start allowing people to come to Taiwan, and also allowing Taiwanese people to go to other countries after like some kind of observation date. Like now it's 21 days, right, for the quarantine. So yeah, I think in like, while my wishes, I cannot say I predict, but I wish that after a month or a month and a half, when we all lower the numbers to zero a day, and then after like 20 days of observation, there's no new confirmed cases. Yeah, I think because summer vacation is coming, right? So I do believe a lot of people would like to, go somewhere. So yeah, if we all behave, we will be able to, start receiving visitors from the world, probably in July. That's my wish.
Hey, thanks so much for listening, and special thanks to our guest today, Bruno Black. And if you want to find out more about Bruno and follow him, there are some links in the show notes that you can follow up with Bruno on. And if you want to follow me and communicate with me, stay connected, a few different ways you can do that. Instagram, Far East Travels, or John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram. Facebook, the Far East Travels podcast page, the Far East Travels page, or the John Sabo official page. And, of course, my YouTube channel, John Sabo. And I'll be having a new video up soon. If you haven't checked it out, I do have one. On the current situation or what it feels like to be in the midst of this latest pandemic. So thanks again. I know it's still maybe some time for some of us to be traveling, but some of us will soon be traveling. It may not be to Southeast Asia, or it may be, who knows, with Thailand opening up in July. So whichever this applies to you in the future, I wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi delay, and peace.